Today, we're talking Goku vs. Vegeta, but for real this time.
You hear the jingle. The jingle's still going. So that was like the whole intro. I liked it, man. It was pretty good. You're hitting me with the what was that game you said? You're hitting me with the Kakarot dialogue level speed right now.
I am, yeah. Welcome to Key Moments. That's Dotto.
Hi.
I'm Nanogenix. I don't know why I give you your abbreviated and then I give my full.
Well, I think that's fine. Like if I was gonna introduce myself, I'd probably say Dotto Doya.
Oh, would you?
No, I'd probably just say Dotto.
I don't know why I said my full government name. That was weird.
Hey, you deserved it, man. And again, this is a big episode. We thought last episode was going to be...
Yeah, this is the big episode.
One. This is the... Last one was Goku versus Vegeta.
This is like a Saiyan-sized episode.
Yes, this episode... They were keeping a Saiyan-sized secret from us for sure. Just so happens to be the name of the episode, by the way, just in case you didn't know that.
Yeah.
And we just sounded like we were playing up something that really didn't matter all too much. But no, I would have rather this one been named Goku versus Vegeta, but I'm not sure what they would have named the last one.
Yeah, no, this one definitely works. What I'm interested in knowing, which let me look that up right now.
Oh, right away.
What did they call this in Japan? So fun
fact. Straight to the phones. We're going straight to the wiki on this one.
Fun fact, research. We are covering episode 31 of the Uncut Dragon Ball series today. This would be episode 25 in the Vegeta saga. And the... Oh, okay. So... The Japanese name for this was Now Goku, a final technique with everything on the line.
I like that. See, I like that one. That one's pretty good.
Or Saiyan-sized secret.
But what's the secret?
Saiyan-sized secret is the YouTube title for the episode, and the other one is an actual episode title.
I'm not sure what the Saiyan-sized secret really was. You know, like the fact that they could. I mean, there's going to be spoilers, but do you mind if I spoil the secret?
I mean, I know the secret.
I'm just not sure if they do. But it's just the fact that Vegeta can make his own moon. Or really, he describes it more as like it's like to reflect the sun, maximize
the blood
sway.
It's not technically the
It's not moon. Technically the moonlight that does it. He's very specific on that.
But also, what is incredibly specific is... Burst open and mix.
You were really sad that he did not say that in the original dub. To be fair, I also really am privy to the line.
Do we need to pull the manga out and see if he says it in the manga?
We could, yeah. I wonder if because clearly they must say it somewhere in the manga that they
the fact that
it's become such a big thing now.
I trust. Do you trust in the games now? To get
anything that's dubbed nowadays, I think it has 100% accuracy for better or worse.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't put that much faith in Legends, but Legends having that line and especially that line specifically, like Goku saying like, hey guys, like sure, whatever. Like he might have a combination of that, but them saying such a specific thing like burst open and mix, I feel like that has got to be a direct reference to the actual source material, that's probably
from the source material, or
and if anything, because we're watching the dub, the dub not having it just means that they were like, well, the kids aren't gonna vibe with that.
They said burst open and mix, dude, that's a miss.
Yeah,
and now they're like, okay, we'll say burst open and mix.
Yeah,
but yeah, speaking of that, we also watched the ocean dub of the clip because it's just, I don't know why it's the only ocean dub line I know.
Well, because you kept saying,
but I love it's just. Because it's my favorite thing, like it's clearly such an American thing to do. Like, it would be pretty sick if Vegeta referenced Goku's father. Like, if Goku's father's technique was the one that did him.
Is Bardock a scientist?
He was a brilliant scientist.
When do we find this out?
I
played the whole Bardock special in Kakarot, and like it's.
They probably skipped that part because. I don't know. Can we please get some fan art of like Bardock being a brilliant scientist? I would love that.
Because where's the fan art if that's real?
Because I mean, most people prefer his like battle days. Like all Saiyans aren't inherently warriors, but then you also have a side job. Like your father was an average fighter. Like he did okay in fights,
but he was a brilliant.
He was a brilliant pianist. Like he played a mean piano.
I didn't know. I didn't know what you're.
He was
say.
A brilliant like server, like a waiter. Like, they all have secondary jobs. Because you got to think about it. The Saiyan life on planet Vegeta probably sucked ass. If you really think about it, like, if everybody just wants to fight, that's like if everybody here wanted to just play, like, professional football. Can you imagine going to a restaurant where everybody like working wanted to play professional football?
You want to talk about Family Guy cuts being amazing? Is it we had that planned and you just get tackled off screen, off like just out of nowhere, you get tackled and then it cuts and then we're back like it never happened.
We're that would be a really high budget podcast.
That's some Eric Andre shit.
That would be a really high budget podcast is if we had Family Guy cuts for jokes, just like newspaper comics that lasted 1 second, just like that'd be crazy. I don't know if we're
would
at
you
that
not
level
love
yet.
That though, wouldn't that be fire?
I would want to do one an episode, I think.
Do you hang on? Do you want to rewind, have him do the one on you so they can't see me, and I will like go throw a helmet on and come tackle you.
I don't want that. No, I we could probably think of another funny one, like maybe like somebody juggles in the background or something like that. I don't know.
I'll go throw a helmet on and we'll cut to the one and I'll come in and I'll just tackle the shit out of you. But then it'll cut back to the wide and we're just sitting here like nothing, like that didn't happen.
I don't think that we need that. I don't think we need that. Maybe it's a hot take. I don't think it needs that. But I guess going back to Planet Vegeta, there has to be other jobs, right? Not everybody can be a grade A warrior.
I mean yeah, definitely, like you gotta have mechanics because Saiyan pods and all the different like ships.
Yeah, I'm sure
stuff.
They could just bully some nerds to get that to happen though.
And then we know that there's definitely doctors, like the people that are watching the babies,
yeah, the pods
that are like in incubation for like a much longer time. I want that tech sounds fire.
I want to know, like, God, it'd be so cool to get like a story focused in on the Saiyans, because I want to see how society works for them. Like, do the doctors resent being doctors? Do they talk about their glory days of fighting? Do they still want to go out and fight?
So you're okay. So they were like the glory days of fighting. So you're thinking like they're retired.
Yeah, like basically
they
conquered
some planets and they're like now they're just scientists.
They're retired, but they wish they were back out there. But King Vegeta knows that they're kind of just ass at that. And they're like one of the five guys that maybe knows how these pods work.
What do you think in an alternate timeline, a what if, what do you think it looks like if, you know, like in the most recent chapter of DBS where Broly basically said, like, you called it like a bargain sell for like Super Saiyans, like everyone can go Super Saiyan. What do you think it would look like if the entirety of Planet Vegeta, every Saiyan could just go with some level of Super Saiyan? Like, let's say like the society lasted long enough that everyone could achieve Super Saiyan.
I think it would. I don't think there would be a planet, because they're definitely beefing. They're definitely fighting each other. And if they're all having Super Saiyan wars, the planet is dead. Like,
yeah, like what planet could survive like thousands or millions of Saiyans going Super Saiyan?
I don't know. We saw what happened in this episode and the last one. When these Saiyans power up, it's like global warming speeds up three times, bro. Like the clouds darken,
man.
Entire cities split apart. Alcoholics can't even drink at peace. Like that town was destroyed. Launch's town that she was in was completely destroyed.
Yeah, Launch was going through it here in the. Or sorry, that was last episode.
No, that was last episode. But I'm just saying that was Vegeta's original power up.
Yeah.
And in this episode, spoilers, but he gets his ass beat by Goku for a little bit here.
This episode, we traded the Launch filler for Yajirobe filler. We actually got a Yajirobe. Like,
we should go back. We should go back. Yeah, we did. Still didn't like it. I feel like...
Bro is just straight up hater.
I am unfortunately just a huge hater of Yajirobe. It's just, I don't think there's anything he can do now to save it. But we'll see. Maybe he'll clutch up. But... the big premise of this episode, Nano, if we can just go back to the beginning, is Goku's getting pretty much beat down. Vegeta's too much for him. But we do see some times three.
We do see some times three.
It was times three was the last thing we saw in the last episode with that sick Kaioken thing. First of all, let me start with that. The art was sick going into this episode. This episode
was on a different level.
Was on a different level from the last episode. Like, and you gave that one a 10.
I did give the previous episode a 10.
So we're looking at... I tried to get it out of him. I tried to get it... He's keeping true to the podcast.
Maybe, but maybe I didn't vibe with this one in the entirety, right?
How, bro? Because the opening scene is literally that times three Goku with the... I said it in our reaction over on Patreon or YouTube members. But he literally winds up so much that I'm surprised Vegeta's head didn't come off.
Yeah,
bro.
Dude.
That was a 180 twist.
That part was so fire. Almost as fire as you guys checking out our bonus footage, like he just mentioned, which is our reactions, bonus podcasts, bonus just general YouTube videos. I say YouTube videos because, you know, it is what it is. Like all of this right here.
Hey, how's it going, Patreon? You guys want to watch some bonus content?
A game for Christmas, and I felt bad. Like, I didn't, again, I thanked the person in depth for everything, but they gave me like a monster truck game of the DS that I could tell was just shovelware, I think. But this is just how I knew the game was Turbo Assassin, because I'm like, I can't even pretend to like absentmindedly play. Like, I can't play this. Like, I can't.
More importantly, Dotto, hot dog or hamburger style?
This music goes insane, dude.
So I'm continuing to watch Pikrin, you know, Freerun for those of you that are very uncultured. And anyways, Dotto, it's so good, man.
You know, you plugged the podcast again. And I just love that, bro. You threw me off, though. Every time I bite on a bait, I just feel a little stupider.
I mean, what do you mean?
I bit. I thought that was going to be an opinion on Dragon Ball Z, and it was a plug. Oh,
I see what you're saying. But you guys can do that by clicking the link down below in the description. Going over
I hate this guy.
Or you could click join right here on YouTube. Bit of a YouTube tax. But thank you guys so much for supporting us over there. It makes things like flying him out to the Key Moments HQ.
We just Santa Monica.
Finished this, and it's pretty sick. So
yeah, nice. This is good set, you know?
Yeah.
When it works, we did have a little bit of tech issues before.
Oh my gosh. So I all right, Dotto. I used to be in IT, right?
Okay. I can tell you fixed it pretty expertly.
My job used to literally be fixing people's problems on PCs. But I didn't like work with the general public. I just worked with like employees of the company.
Yeah.
That's like a very like key component, because when you're answering calls and you're talking to people that also work for the same company, like you're essentially both working towards the similar goal versus talking to the general public and their general issues. It also keeps you in like a contained environment, because like imagine you call me with like Go XLR issues. That's you on this spectrum, but then someone else is calling me about Excel problems, or someone else is calling me about some printer that hasn't worked for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Like it could be anything, but at least when you're working at one company, it's a generalized like
atmosphere.
Bubble.
You're in a bubble.
Yeah. There's no Go XLRs.
Mickey Mouse kind of IT job.
There's no Go XLRs. There is no random printers from 20 years ago. There's a fleet of printers that we know all the models and we know, you know, anyways. But all that to say, I started working on this computer and I decided what we were going to do is, have you ever done a system restore?
No.
So every so often your computer will like store a, essentially restore point to where it can take you back to that day.
Okay, checkpoint.
So I did that and took us back to yesterday. The issue we were having is obviously we've got a pretty semi-complex mic setup, and the computer had no input devices, no output devices. So I click system restore.
It's a problem for a podcast.
And it's going to take us back a day, which isn't that big of a deal. It's not a terribly big problem. Then in the middle of the restore, I realized, wait, I've not copied over any other podcast that we filmed.
Yeah. No,
had to shut the process down immediately. Now, what I found out after that is it doesn't get rid of any of your documents, so they would have still been there. But anyways,
well, I'm glad, because just to put it from an outsider's perspective, what happened to me was I was playing Master Duel on my phone, learning a bit of Unchained.
Not recently.
I
thought we lost like multiple hours worth of work,
and then I just hear no, and then Nano ejects from his seat. He stands up, he reaches over the PC, yanks out six wires to stop the process. And then he turns around, he does a slight smile. He's like, I may have just deleted six videos, which would have been
devastating.
I know I noticed it wasn't the one that you uploaded on your main channel. That one got up just fine. But conspiracy theories aside, people working from within Key Moments to destroy Key Moments. No, nothing got lost. You fixed the issue.
I did. Sorry.
All by yourself.
A very long-winded way of saying I basically just fixed the problem.
I feel like we should be honest and say that while you were doing all of this setup and everything, I was explicitly sitting here and playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that was my contribution.
You were learning how to run a Yu-Gi-Oh! Deck.
I was watching
and playing
a very helpful combo guide for Unchained, because I've never played the deck. I have no idea what these cards do.
I want to watch something like that over Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball card game.
For what? Oh, the card game. It is. Anytime you take a card game more seriously, it is just, it's more fun. Because then it's just like, all right, well, now it's like an actual strategy game instead of just like a combo game. You know, it's just like when it's a combo game, you're just like, oh, look at what I can do. When it's a strategy game, it's like, okay, what is my opponent trying to do? Is there any way out? And so when there's more back and forth, that's when I think card games work the best.
So Master Duel definitely has like a... does it have like a running set that you have to use versus entirely to you?
No, it's just the whole game. There's a ban list and then there's the entire history of cards.
See, that's the one thing I liked about when I played Magic was that with Magic, you have, of course, like, I don't remember what they called it. I know Hearthstone just calls it Wild. But they had like, you could play everything or you could play the roughly 24 months of in circulation. I don't know what they would call it, but like basically that was like the regulation. Like if you wanted to
play.
It was
a standard is what
standard,
they call it.
Standard. Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't do that? Or does Yu-Gi-Oh! The card game do that? Just Master Duel doesn't do that?
No, neither of them do that. It's just...
That's so... There's a ban list. 25 years? 20 years?
Yes.
Of and cards? Just in circulation? Just like...
Yeah, switching over to... When I started learning and Magic and playing it, because I had never played that shit, I was like, oh, this is dumb. Like, I can't use any card I ever wanted to. And then after playing it and playing Standard, I was like, oh, it's kind of like... This is like easier to balance. It's like lower scale than Yu-Gi-Oh! And I'm like, I see how power creep can be more of an issue. And now I was like, man, the way Yu-Gi-Oh! Does it is stupid, man. Like this, it is cool. Don't get me wrong. It's cool that you have to worry about like threats from
that is
20 years ago.
Neat. And I guess like it offers a probably wider variety of decks you probably see. Does it not? People still
I mean like the top decks are going to be the top decks, you know? Like, yes, it can. There's definitely been moments where like, I don't know. At the top level, it's probably still cool because you're like, oh, you know what would work really good with this? Like Cecil Hartman from 2008. He's broken in this. But once somebody does that once and then it's broken, then it's just broken. That, like everybody will just play whatever's the top, which is the same in every card game. But it's not inherently different. It's just that you can't adjust power creep that well, I guess. It's just always ramping up outside of like different master rules they may add. But no, it's pretty much the same. I would say it's the same experience. It's just probably harder for Konami. And anytime an old card usually pops off like that, they'll just ban it anyway. They're like, okay, well.
They have a ban list.
Yes.
It's not very big though, is it?
No, I would say it's pretty big. They just ban whatever's toxic. And then maybe years later when it's not toxic, they'll come off.
Oh, okay.
They'll come off. But the thing is, they're always going to hit old cards that won't make them money. Compared to the new cards that they're selling.
That's
why it's cool that an old card can come back. But if that old card is a part of a toxic combo, that old card is dead. He will die immediately.
Okay. So, yeah. So something that was cool about like with Magic and also when Hearthstone adapted this and did it too, once Hearthstone was out for a while, was you would basically just be waiting for that next season. If you were like me, most, I would say like card game players are the same way. There's a card that you just hate and you're like, I'm so ready for that to be like out of standard. You know, you're like ready for that next set to drop. So like that one card that you hate, like fighting against, like goes away. So you don't have that feeling in Yu-Gi-Oh. You're just basically at Konami's
discretion
on whether or not they're going to decide.
Those people
to ban
hope
a
for
card
the ban list. Yes.
Cause like it's inevitable in like Magic and Hearthstone because it's going to fall off once the new set comes.
And then
they don't get to pick and choose.
And ban lists are fun. When ban lists come out, it is fun. It's like, oh, that's yeah. And like people dance over the dead body and like, you know, or it can be very depressing if they don't ban it and they instead ban some. So the ban list is exciting. It's an exciting time.
How often do they do one?
I don't know. They actually just did one a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
They banned Barone DeFleur.
Was that a card you used or?
It was a card everybody used. It was just very generic. It was an Omni negate, meaning it would negate literally anything once. It wasn't honestly that bad.
Dude, I know so little about. That's why I never made Yu-Gi-Oh videos because I just know so little.
I know because I bought a Yu-Gi-Oh thumbnail off you.
You did,
and it prospered. So what?
It did.
You guys might not know this. Nano commissioned what I thought was a pretty fire thumbnail.
Yeah.
Of Yugi and Kaiba.
The idea was that I was gonna either play with you and Rhyme or play with Rhyme against you or vice versa. And so I made sure the thumbnail looked like it was Kaiba and Yugi working together. And so that was the whole idea behind it. And then I never did it. And then you bought it off.
You never did it. And then I bought it off you. And
it was an expensive piece too.
It was
very detailed Yu-Gi-Oh and Kaiba. Like
very detailed piece. And it worked. I don't know how many views it got me. But I definitely made back my investment.
A lot. Last I looked at like 700,000 or something.
Yeah, that's pretty low for my Yu-Gi-Oh videos. No, it's pretty high. It's rather high.
Dude, I was looking back at my, again, my main channel started out as a podcast talking about Hearthstone.
Okay.
And I looked back at one of those videos, and you want to talk about...
What was your podcast name?
Whirlwind.
Why is that?
So... there's a card in.
Okay. This is what I'm interested. I want to know what the creative process was.
So there was a card. There's a warrior card called Whirlwind that would hit every card on the board for one, including your own.
All right.
Which there's obviously combos behind that, because there were cards that you had that if they took any amount of damage, they would get bonus attack stats.
Yeah. Like the guy that threw bombs. I remember that.
Or that. Yeah. And so the idea behind Whirlwind was Whirlwind, a Hearthstone podcast where we talk anything and everything Hearthstone.
Oh, you were attacking Whirlwind. Everything.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah.
All right. But we used to go over the top decks. Like every week we'd go over the top decks for that week and just like.
Damn, you were in it. You were in it.
No, dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, I
switch over to Yu-Gi-Oh, bro. You do the Yu-Gi cast.
I mean, I love card games. Like, I've just not dove deep into DBS yet because I don't know why.
Talking Fusion World.
I don't know.
We could do a Fusion World segment on the.
Yeah, I don't know why I have not like just went balls deep into that. I think I've just been so busy, and also I'm more interested once they add a few more cards.
For me, it is a thing. Like, I don't get me wrong, I like Fusion World. I'm going to keep playing it because it has the Dragon Ball branding. But also, I do find it easier to invest myself in card games when they're their own separate universe.
Yeah, but Yu-Gi-Oh is technically like
its own universe. Like, I'm not going to lie, I love... so crossovers and fighting games, love that. Crossover and card games, I think, are corny. Do you agree?
Why?
I don't know. It's just so corny. Because if I'm playing...
Wait. So you don't like the Lord of the Rings stuff in Magic?
So corny, dude. Corny to me.
That's so cool. Because
it just takes me... Like, this is some real loser shit, but if I'm playing, like, Gatekeeper Goliath, I play him in Attack Mode, and they're like, I play Doctor Who. I'm like... you just took me out of my whole fucking shit, man. Like, I can't
agree with you there. I think that's so. I'm excited about the Marvel. Like, the Marvel collab is probably good.
Come on, bro. Like, if I play Gatekeeper Goliath and then I play Tony Stark and then equip MK2 suit.
I like that we were on the same page there.
I'm like, bro. Like, it's like two fantasies clashing.
And like, they definitely, because it's a collab and the people at Marvel are like, you better make our cards good. And so my Iron Man is going to come out and probably wipe your field.
Yeah, your Iron Man's going to obliterate my hand full of goblin imps. And then I'm just like, okay.
Well, my rush deck is gone. And you have, yeah.
Cool. It just, I like when it's all one coherent. Again, it doesn't even have to be coherent. As long as it's just a part of the... what happened?
Sorry, my ADD clicked in. That axe back there is a magic axe. The axe in my room that like I do bits with.
Oh, just bits?
It's a, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering what that body bag earlier when I came in was. But
yeah. What do you think about Huey Lewis in the news? So anyway, yeah, that's a magic axe.
Okay. What from what character? Is it just an axe?
Is it Garrick?
I actually don't know. So I don't know much about magic. I just recently learned. I know Jace. Like, he's the blue wizard guy.
Yes.
He's like, to me, he's just like the wizard. When I think of wizards, I think of him. Even before I played Magic.
Man.
Which I don't really play. I don't know why I'm describing it like that. How many minutes are we into this Dragon Ball Z podcast? That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty sick. See that? If I play Garrick Windspeaker.
Wild Speaker.
Excuse me. And then a motherfucker plays the Hulk. That's like, I'm so out of it, man. Like, what? I don't know. For some reason, in card games, that's where it clashes the most to me. Unless it's like somebody makes a crossover card game like Weiss. But I'm not playing Weiss Schwartz.
I mean, I guess I get what you're saying with the Yu-Gi-Oh thing is because like it's a universe built around being a card game.
It's like we are the duelist and we're playing the card game. And the card game is just... the card game. I don't know how to describe it.
What I do know is they keep tweeting out cards for like green or pretty much mostly green. I keep seeing green and yellow cards, and I'm like, where are the blue and red cards that are coming for this new set?
Blue actually got an SCR, Vegito Blue. So I'm looking forward to the alt art. It's not that good though. The people are not very happy with it. It's okay, but it's not really game changing. I would say
who is balancing this card game, dude?
They just don't like blue. Green got some good stuff. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out, right? Because I ain't even a
green
smart
probably didn't need
like
anything.
Okay, well that's just hating. I mean, they got to get something. They got to get some new leaders in here. I'm excited to see what the new animations look like on the game. Because Cell's a new leader. Fuse Zamasu.
I was going to say, what do you mean by new animations? But I guess if we're getting new leaders, then that would be new animations. Yes.
Yeah. And Fuse Zamasu. And one thing I'm looking forward to is if they add new. But Fuse Zamasu actually seems like a pretty cool blue leader. I just hate a lot of the blue decks, and I played it against you. They have to have 7 cards or fewer in your hand to get the good effects. Like, that sucks. It's like a game about comboing from your hand. And in order to play, I have to not have the most cards as possible.
Yeah.
It's kind of whack.
Yeah. I mean, I've really only done that red deck. That's pretty much it. I messed around with, I'm so curious on how that video did. I'm like trying to find your.
Bro's looking up my video.
Yeah.
It's like at 80K, I think. It's doing good for a Dragon Ball Super card game.
No. The Yu-Gi-Oh. I found it.
Oh, you're looking. Bro is all over. What's the views?
794.
That's almost 800. That's pretty good.
That was originally a Nanogenics thumbnail.
That was a Nanogenics thumbnail. That was bought and sold,
I passed rights.
Yeah, the rights were passed on a long time ago.
Man,
like how Goku is passing rights and lefts.
To Vegeta. Man, dude.
We went on a diatribe there for quite a while there, Neto. I don't even know how we got to cards because we were talking about how Goku hit the meanest fucking windup on this man. Vegeta almost broke his damn neck.
Dude, it's a podcast, man.
It is.
It's a vodcast.
Vodcast? Video on demand cast?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to remember the episode play by play. Because I really want to talk about how the fighting in this one was more than just... Last episode was a lot of anime fighting where it was the same punch 3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
The same kick 3 times.
This was like...
This one had mix-ups.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sick. Because remember when Goku, like, after he gets the punch, he goes forward, Vegeta tries to counter. He grabs his arm, flings him over. Dude, the action in this episode was great. This was the versus episode. This was the headliner event.
Yes.
You know, you've been in your WWE stuff. This is the main event.
Yeah, this was the main event.
This was huge. But Vegeta honestly doesn't.
This was night two.
Night two?
Yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's or what?
Oh, no. WrestleMania is a two night event.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So night one, like you have a little bit of a tease of it. This was the night two main event special.
Oh.
This was Cody versus Roman.
Okay. All right. I saw a little bit of that. I didn't really understand the gravitas of it.
Well, you see, Cody's dad.
The Dragon Ball Z Roach says, no! No, stop! Stop! Not funny.
And the thing with Roman and his bloodline and how...
Bloodline? There's bloodlines in this?
Yeah, dude. Roman comes from a long-lived like bloodline in the WWE. Like his father.
But just his father?
Or does no, because he's also related to The Rock.
Oh...
Dude, it's a whole thing. It's good.
Bloodline.
Anyways, speaking of bloodlines, we have the Prince of All Saiyans, who's here. By the way, speaking of the Ocean Dub, watching that and hearing the Vegeta, I don't mind the Goku voice in the Ocean Dub, but the Vegeta voice, like,
well, I think that was a bad because I've heard like when he's more angry or when he's screaming, it sounds like, pretty good.
Because there's multiple voice actors.
Is there?
Yeah, I don't think that was Brian Drummond.
Oh,
the clip we heard that you made me look up that I didn't even know what you were talking about.
That you were privileged enough to look up. Average Fighter, Brilliant Science.
Yeah. So that I don't think was Brian Drummond. I don't think it was.
I know so little about the Ocean Dub is what I'm realizing.
There was 2 or 3 Gokus before Sean. Maybe 2.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because there was a guy named Kirby and then a guy named Peter. I think most people know Peter Calamus or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it was Sean for funny. But like there was 2 Ocean Dubs.
I was like funny. And then I realized what you were saying. But
yeah,
go on.
Funimation, which doesn't even exist anymore, by the way. Which
that's
is like
crazy. That's unfortunate.
It is actually unfortunate. I liked going to the Funimation app. I had less issues with the Funimation app than I did with Crunchyroll. But maybe Crunchyroll will get better now that they're like combined in the
now that they're literally a monopoly. Yeah.
that too, which is like insane. That's a whole topic for another day.
Yeah, our politics cast.
Yeah,
I forgot we had that on the list. We were going to discuss top 10 monopolies in the U.S. today. Yeah,
that is, we got that on lock for, I believe, Wednesday at 3.
Okay. All right.
So,
good time for that.
I think I'm double booked there, but I'll do my best to.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got to free up time for the Monopoly cast.
Yeah. But anyways, when you take a look at what is going on in this episode specifically, you do have to wonder if Vegeta and Goku have a monopoly on Dragon Ball Z.
They do. And we, I'll just say now, spoilers for the, that was last episode, the 200 episodes from then, right?
Yes, 200 episodes from 30.
Because we don't, honestly,
this
Dragon Ball Z is
31.
They like, Goku-Vegeta rivalry is huge, but they take the fights very close to the chest. Like, it's like, well, we got one in superhero as a bit, kind of.
Yeah. I don't like you saying that.
What do you mean?
It was a bit?
It was a bit.
Vegeta won. That's a joke to you?
With no key blast, no transformations. That's
exactly, no bullshit.
That's what is this, some Hercule logic, bro? Some light show tricks?
Light show tricks? No, just like real brawling.
Real no Saiyan brawling.
Yes.
I don't know, bro. The Goku.
Vegeta wins, no bullshit, man. That's all there is to it.
The Goku fans, we disagree. Goku clearly was just like, Vegeta wasn't mentally in it.
Vegeta doesn't need the light show and the magic tricks like Goku does.
Okay.
Goku needs that Ultra Instinct bullshit.
Ultra Instinct.
Vegeta could easily do that. He just chooses not to.
I think he's tried very hard to.
No.
And he just gets bodied.
No.
It's too much thoughts going on in his head.
No.
He's a thinking man.
Yes, yeah. He's very wise.
I mean, even in this episode right now, when we saw Vegeta try to counterattack the Goku trying his hardest, he got countered and beat up.
I was very surprised, you know, again, this being like something I'm not watching a long time. I was very surprised at how much Vegeta got his ass beat.
They do.
I just didn't remember Vegeta getting his ass beat this much.
I think they definitely, we'll find out later in the section, but I think they definitely gassed that up for the anime, which I mean, why won't you? I think Vegeta gets hit like a couple times in times three. And then he's literally like, fuck this. I'm blowing up the planet.
It's so childish.
Vegeta?
Yeah.
I would agree.
That's why I'm not a Vegeta fan.
I think he just gets pissed and then he's like, I'm blowing up the planet. Which he still does here, but I would be pissed too. Like, you got to remember, this is like if Vegeta sees this, like if me and you like went to an elementary school and we were like, look at this kid, bro, I'm about to beat his ass. And then he started beating our ass. Like, then I'd be like, all right, like, I'm just blowing up let's back away from the analogy at this stage of the game. Let's just say Vegeta was very angry and he's going to blow up the planet. What's so funny? Because the analogy never fully happened, so that's not even really true. And to the FBI agent that I know watches key moments, we saw the key member come through from FBI. Like, we get like not FBI agent _gov.
Yeah.
Didn't really fool us, dude.
But that was a joke, buddy.
That was a joke. So I'm not going to be serving any
that you didn't. That you didn't even finish.
That I didn't even finish. Okay.
So
sorry, I've been sipping out of the wrong mug over here for a little bit.
So I guess I just didn't anticipate that. Okay. Let me take a step back. So I did remember that Vegeta obviously feels pushed and the need to go up and do the Gallic Gun to try to destroy the Earth. But I guess I felt like Vegeta got more licks in here than he did. Because did he get any good licks on Goku here?
Before times three?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
After times three?
But in this episode before the Gallic Gun.
No. But it was done so well because it looks like he's still trying.
Yeah.
Like, he's competing. Like, he even tried to grab like Goku's arms, and then the dude just headbutted him. So, like, there really wasn't.
The choreography in this
episode. The choreography
was
actually crazy.
The choreography was so sick.
That's why that part stuck out to me, because normally in an anime ass beating moment, it's just like they're overwhelmed. The guy's doing like a solo combo. This was Vegeta actively trying to stop the combo and getting comboed anyway.
I won't lie. Again, as not remembering a lot of it, I didn't anticipate the headbutt coming.
That surprised me. I was like, damn, okay, so it's not over. Then I think the headbutt came first and then the punch. Because then after he gets punched, bro is like, I forgot, he like stumbles over dead. He's like, Like Fat's on, he like wriggles around on the floor like a worm for a little bit. Like he's like, no wonder he's pissed, bro.
Yeah. Listen, I'd almost be that pissed if I had not seen our reaction that's available.
Oh, but the double blood? Yeah. How many bait and switches?
You know, two key members. So,
what did you think? Did the Beam Clash live up to your expectations? Because we are here now.
Pretty much at the Beam Clash, 100%.
Now, I will say, you did have a complaint during the reaction.
So, I guess, like, to me, and this is one of those things where, like, I hate to say this because it's the Kai guys that are going to be like, well, then just watch Kai. But yeah, my complaint here, or I hope this is what you're referencing, is the cutaway in the middle of a freaking beam struggle.
Oh, that wasn't what I was referencing, but go ahead. Now expand on that.
We didn't need the cutaway in the middle of a beam struggle.
Hmm.
I don't need that. But do that like before we start the beam struggle. Like, if you've got to include that, we got to get to 24 minutes or whatever it is, then sure, do it. But do it before we're in the middle of, you know, don't fail me now, buddy. You know,
like, it is crazy.
Like, and like we're in the middle of this and like we just saw an insane like Goku whited out eyes and like blast all over his face, like full screen. And then it's like.
That was sick. The screaming is sick.
Oh, man. I better get out of here.
Oh, Yajirobe.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, not my complaint, but the complaint I heard you say is I'm sitting here watching the beam struggle. It's going on HD, and you're like, it's so bright. My eyes, it's bright.
Dude, the flashing in this episode was crazy.
It was a lot of flashing. I'm not even going to lie. It was a lot of flashing.
It was
pretty bright. I wonder if Kai like toned down the, because it wasn't even like just bright, it was like the screen would go full white like every three, like not even 3 seconds, it was every other half second it was full white.
I had watched this recently because recent-ish, because someone did an edit with different like dub OSTs over this. It was pretty good.
Wait, Kai?
Not Kai.
Oh, okay.
This specific sequence, but it was with actual. Well, because you got to think, like, right now what we're hearing is not the quote unquote Faulkner OST that like we're used to.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised. Maybe they lost the rights by the time they did the Saiyan Saga stuff. Because
he was there for a good time, not a long time.
Knowing that Funimation did Saiyan Saga post being done with the series, it's interesting that they didn't use the Faulkner stuff. So I'm guessing they probably lost the rights and they couldn't work with him anymore by the time they were doing this.
That's crazy.
So, but whatever they did choose to use in the OST here, again, we're listening to it just English dub. Whatever they did choose to use, I mean, it was still fun, but I did watch the semi-ish recent, I say that, it's like probably a year ago. And they cooked on that with some of the different dub OSTs in there. But anyways, we recently, just a fun little thing. We recently kind of watched this, both of us, through Kakarot's DLC.
Oh, kind of a little bit.
I mean, Kakarot, that's what they were doing. I mean, they just basically...
Yeah, they just like powered them up.
Yeah.
They just powered them up.
But they do the cutbacks to
the
this.
The final flash, the Vegeta thing was kind of crazy. The dual mixing beam, bro, is mixing beams. You can't do that.
God, dude. It was so
that
good.
Was sick. That was not an Oob DLC. I actually got clickbaited and probably robbed.
I guess the thing I coming back to the actual episode though. I guess the thing you got robbed. I guess the thing though that I also forgot was how far Vegeta gets blasted away when he loses.
We both thought he was in Snake. It looked like Snake Way. I don't know why.
Like straight up looked
the
like
the clouds
Snake
were yellow and the sky was pink.
Yes, it looked like bro was in Snake Way, which would have kind of been a funny bit.
That would have been that, that him if, into, if it was Family Guy, that's how it would have worked. Like Vegeta would have escaped the beam. Like damn, that almost killed. Bro was already dead like 6 years ago. But no, it was just like I guess the sun was setting. Which I guess it was important they draw that out because bro started looking around like a Budokai character after they lock off. Like he was like, that animation repeated like 6 times. He was like, where's the moon?
Oh, dude. Yeah, he was looking for the moon for like a minute.
And it was funny to me because they cut over to King Kai and he was like, this motherfucker don't know that there's no moon. He's saying that like Goku's not twitching on the ground right now. Like all Vegeta really needs to do is go land and beat his ass.
Yes.
Like the Great Ape is kind of just childish. Kind of not necessary.
It's definitely overkill. Yeah. If he would have literally just came back down and like gut punch and then stomped on him and then hit him with a Ki Blast and took his head off.
Imagine Yajirobe having to watch Goku like bite the curb of one of these rocks. just like, what would if I was Yajirobe, I'd probably
What is Yajirobe doing if it's not just having to cut off a tail? What's he doing?
Nothing. Bitching and whining, complaining.
Hiding.
Well, in this case, while Vegeta's looking for the moon that doesn't exist, he's just congratulating Goku.
You know, I made a joke that like he's like, Vegeta, over here! But low-key, he does scream and then run off. He did kind of like give away their position.
To who?
Vegeta. Vegeta knew where he's coming back to. I'm just saying, like, but he still kind of did it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, if we're hating on Yajirobe, I'm all in. I don't even need evidence. You could have just lied, and I believe you. But Yajirobe does come over to Goku and fucking hits him at his weakest point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes...
He slaps him, you know, funny bit and everything, but this dude just tried to save the earth. It's not a joke to him. He's screaming in pain.
Yeah.
And Yajirobe goes, hey, man, we did it. We won.
Impressive
we're the best.
That Goku's still standing, though.
It is impressive. I think it's just because his legs, he literally
he's
can't
just
move.
Totally frozen.
Like, it's actually frozen stiff. Yeah. But Yajirobe says, we did it. We won. We're the best. And then Goku says, Vegeta's still alive. And he goes, you got this. You keep going. I'll leave you to it. And then he bounces again. So great character. I can see why everybody loves him.
Yeah. Awesome character for sure. And then that's when we get the line.
Burst open and mix.
No.
Which line?
Your father.
Oh, your father was an average fighter, but a brilliant scientist. Yeah. Unfortunately, not canon. They kind of wrote that out of the story.
And then burst open and mix.
Not here. Not in our DVD.
I am the hype.
No.
And then Kakarot, you dog.
That one's later. I hope that one's still in. Come on, that has to be in, right? Please, dude, that would be so exciting.
Dude,
Kakarot, you dog. You did it.
If that's not in, I will be sad.
I'm going to be pretty sad, too.
Man, oh, man.
I'm
oh
also
man.
Looking forward to Gohan beating Frieza's ass on a completely different thing. Like, yes. The rage moment not being... I think that should have been canon.
Of course, Vegeta goes Great Ape. But you pointed out something that I thought was a really cool... I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but essentially they end the episode with Vegeta sounding very Great Ape-ish, and they don't reveal that Vegeta can talk in his Great Ape form.
That's technically still a secret to us, is that because he's laughing, like he's going, ha ha ha. And this is the best transformation to Great Ape in the show so far, I think. He's laughing, armor's expanding.
Probably ever.
And his voices become like the monstrous, and then it just kind of sounds like he's just stomping around. But they do not reveal that he is just fully... Still sentient.
Yeah.
He's just having a good time now. I do also want to point out that this is like, I guess I associate this term with GT, but Vegeta does specifically state that the moonlight's not important. It's just I'm reflecting all of those good, juicy Blutz waves. Blutz waves is such a funny term today. Probably because I hate how they're done in GT.
So I've never looked into it. Is that real?
Like actually canon? I actually have no clue. I would assume... Probably because it's used in GT again.
Yeah. But does GT really?
I'm just saying, like, if they use it again, it's probably because. I mean, it's definitely not from the English dub, right? Because why would GT use it again from the English dub? Unless it's just not called Blood Sway. I think it's kind of dumb. Like, but it's not really important because Great Apes aren't overall super important until GT again.
Yeah. They're not
really
pretty much after this at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's just a funny term, and the fact that Vegeta is so hyped to get some good Blutz waves in his system did make me laugh.
Blutz waves.
I love the Blutz waves. But that pretty much brings us to the end of the episode. It's just Goku is pretty much frozen.
I won't lie. I was going to skip ahead, and I was going to see if they say if the Blutz waves are, like, not real.
Well, maybe we'll... Oh, you mean, like, way, way ahead? But what we're going to... Our GT rewatch...
No. I was going to see if the wiki was like... Well,
oh, you're already on the wiki.
Well, technically.
Technically, it's not really Blutz waves. It's...
But that part was interesting, though, like you're saying, him doing a full breakdown of... It's not technically the moon.
Yeah, it was all science.
it's the way the sun reflects off the moon and that creates these Blux waves that actually triggers our.
This is the most Erm actually Vegeta has ever done to Goku.
Yes.
Erm, if you were hoping the moon being gone would stop me, you actually needed to destroy the sun. That's what had the Blux waves in it.
But yeah, I'm in major events. We're moving on to trivia now.
Yeah, that's pretty much that. That was basically these are so interesting when these are such heavily action focused, because so much of the story is just progress through them beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was good action though.
We didn't comment on the cutaway to Kami House.
So moving on to differences from the manga, that brings us back to the Kami Houses. That was filler. There is something interesting to note is Bulma is commentating on the Scouter, and that. It pops. It's the first time. Is it the first time actually that a Scouter explodes due to raw power?
I don't think Raditz's
Scouter didn't explode
from Gohan. So
Vegeta crushes his. This was kind of a waste then, because the Scouter exploding due to raw power is always hype.
Yes,
it is always a good sell.
Yes,
but this one was kind of pointless to me. Like it wasn't really that good. It didn't feel that rewarding.
Yeah.
So kind of a waste, but the first Scouter explosion does happen in this episode that we didn't mention. So, but that's filler.
You think if Chi-Chi knew it was Goku, she'd be like, why are you letting my husband explode your Scouter? You know,
you think she'd get jealous over a Scouter exploding?
Maybe that was Goku made that Scouter explode.
That would probably take some years in couple counseling to really work out. I think that might be a little too controlling.
What if Vegeta caused the Scouter to explode instead of Goku? I'm waiting on that episode to drop from Dadadoya.
What if? What if Vegeta had Kaioken? I think the show would be over, dude. I think he would just body him. And then the only other difference is that Goku using the Kaioken times 3 continues to overwhelm Vegeta. That was not present. So the big ass beating was not present. But he did beat his ass a little bit. Like he gave him the punch. I think it might have just been the Sidewinder punch.
I'm thinking of the thumbnail for that.
What if Vegeta won?
Yeah.
Or what? Well, what's the title? What title are you thinking?
Well, so the thumbnail is Vegeta shows up at Kami House.
Okay.
He has Bulma and it wrapped in his arms.
Okay, I know where we're going. And then a dead Goku, the Goku's severed head.
He's like, and he's got one foot up on the table that they were sitting around. And then Chi-Chi is going to have the face over in the corner.
That's the face you make when your spouse has gotten their head ripped off from their body? No way. You ripped my husband's head off his body. That's pretty badass.
I'm going to commission this and you're going to make the video. I want it to be the most serious shit.
Vegeta would then clearly sever his
head. Ever since Vegeta was born, he was destined for greatness.
He wanted to rip
this
off.
This is proven by.
All right. And then that's just trivia. Now we're just on trivia.
Okay.
You want to get some hot trivia?
My guess... Blutz waves. I don't go for it.
Blutz waves. Any other guesses?
Actually, Blutz waves may not be mentioned. Are they mentioned?
I don't know. I haven't actually read it yet. That's why I'm giving you time to guess.
I feel like there's going to be, maybe they got something wrong. Or wait, trivia section is where they correct, right? No. We've already
trivia is where they do. Where the wiki is like, well, why is this? What is this? Also notice this.
I feel like this is going to be fairly accurate.
Okay. Let's see if there's any discrepancies. Because the first one is not really a discrepancy. It's more of like a character motivation thing. It is not clear what would have happened if this is another what if video. Let's write this one down. It is not clear what would have happened if Vegeta had won the beam struggling against Goku. Vegeta said the planet would be destroyed, but Saiyans cannot breathe in space and his attack ball was in a distant city. To be fair, as I read that, though, if it took Frieza 5 minutes to destroy the planet, Vegeta's Gallic Gun is probably going to take, 15? That's plenty of time to get back to the Saiyan pod and get out. So the what if probably isn't as funny, but I do think a great April Fool's video, if you are a what if channel, is this what if, and then Vegeta blows up the planet, he laughs and goes, and then Earth explodes and he's just dead. And then it's like, in a great flash of white, the Saiyan history was wiped out. Vegeta undoes,
but then it ends with Broly on the planet.
Wow! Just and then, yeah, Broly's the final Saiyan.
What if Pan Broly Perry was the final Saiyan?
Now we know how to sell the episode.
Damn.
Vegeta's trigger for his subsequent rage differs between languages. The Japanese version has him angry for Goku, low-level trash, making him bleed his noble blood, whereas the English dubs, even uncut Funimation, has him angry in general at Goku surpassing him in brute strength, without directly mentioning the bleeding. Yeah, close enough. I think it's just he doesn't want to get his ass beat.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's it. It was a pretty accurate episode, like you said. Oh,
okay.
It was just...
So nothing about Blutz Waves.
No Blutz Waves. So Blutz Waves are right. Looking pretty... Look at this. The picture came up on this Goku Sidewinder punch, bro. He literally is upside down.
God, he's so sick.
He's upside down, bro. That is a crazy windup. But that pretty much brings us to the end of the episode, Nano, and the end of the podcast, Nano, and the beginning of our ratings.
So, Blutz Waves are an energy source emitted by large celestial bodies such as a full moon or the Earth.
Wait, is this real science or Dragon Ball science?
Dragon Ball science.
Okay, I was worried that Blutz Waves were real.
In Goku's case during Dragon Ball GT, when it reflects rays of sunlight, when a Saiyan absorbs at least 17 million Zeno, unit to measure waves of full celestial light, through the retina, a reaction occurs in the tail that causes the Saiyans to transform into ruthless great apes. If a moon is not present, the Saiyan, if he or she knows how to use it, can also create an artificial moon to allow themselves to absorb the necessary amount of Blutz Waves needed for them to go great ape to compensate. Although a moon is necessary for causing transformation, it can also be achieved by any celestial body so long as it is in close proximity to the area Saiyans are located at. As evidenced by how Goku became a golden great ape by absorbing Blutz Waves from the Earth itself due to technically acting as a new plant's moon.
I normally in fiction, it bothers me when they explain stuff like this, overly explain, because then it just kind of gets bogged down. This one I don't really mind too much. I feel like it's kind of like secondary to the story. It kind of just works. So Blutz Waves, surprisingly, great addition to the series.
What would you do if I looked it up and Blutz Waves were just real?
I'd probably go stare at the sun. Try to get some Blutz Waves in me.
What would you do
if you got a doctor report back, like you went to like get blood tests done for a year and you saw that your doctor had written like Blutz Waves were like abnormally high in your body? It was like, you got to get that.
That'd be crazy.
I honestly, like, I would be pretty high.
I might just be like,
if that happened.
Or
Galagun is uncomfortable. God, bro. Even looking at that, like, you're going to break your wrist. Like, that is crazy. I don't even know how that's not possible for me. But do we even want to write down on our phone? Because I know what I'm giving this episode.
You just want to say it?
Yeah, on three?
On a 3, 2, 1?
Yeah. This is the first time we're ever doing this. 3, 2, 1,
10.
Double 10 in a row. This is my second 10. Also your second 10.
Yeah.
So we're tied.
Caught up. We're tied now.
Nice. Do you think the next episode is going to be a 10-2? We're kind of on a hot streak.
I think it's definitely possible.
It's going to be a lot of great ape.
But, yeah, but it's good. It's good great ape.
I know. I'm saying, like, that as a good thing. Like, it's going to be a lot of great ape.
Have you seen my great ape figure arts?
No. Are there great ape figure arts?
I'll bring it in here for the next episode.
Okay, can we have it like right here to celebrate?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I like that. We're gonna start switching this out every episode for a figure that this is how you like write off the figures for your So it's key moments because we gotta get the tax bill down. Tax bill killed us this year. Fucking killed us.
Man.
And if we're going to keep buying these stupid toys, we need to find a way to make it smart for the business.
Yeah, I've been meaning to tell you the tax bills.
I know it's and Toasty's breathing down our necks. Okay. But 10 episode for me. I mean, this is just iconic. Great episode.
If you were rating this series and you watched this episode and this wasn't a 10 to you, sorry, if you're rating the series and you say you like Dragon Ball and this is not a 10 to you, then I'm not sure what you want out of Dragon Ball. Oh,
they're not going to like that one, then. But I think I would describe
it
as...
What do they want out of Dragon Ball? If this is not what they want out of Dragon Ball, I think they need to just go watch a different series. Go watch Picarin, bro.
Okay. That's pretty based of you to say there, bro. I would describe it as if this episode is on and I'm walking through a room and I see it, I'm old man stopping and staring at the TV.
Yes.
Like, damn. I ain't make it like this no more.
And then when the Yajirobe scene comes on,
I'm probably walking out of the room.
That's when you're sitting.
But yeah,
I need to go mow the lawn.
If Yajirobe, I mean, the humor coming up to Goku was okay.
That was fine. Okay.
It wasn't that bad.
Again, if you're not rewatching these with us, I would highly recommend. By the way, you can watch and you can enjoy it with us by becoming a key member. But like, go rewatch it, and it is. And again, it's a thing that I shouldn't talk about because like us or me as an OG dub enjoyer, people be like, "Well, just go watch Kai," you know, and you don't probably have to experience that. But the cutaway was a little like. It wasn't as bad as we've had some, like, I don't know, being excited about the Saiyans being there. And then instead of
that one was
seeing
horrible.
The Saiyans,
that one was
just
actually
like,
terrible.
Hey, guys. Yeah, man, I'm part of this Z-Warrior group. And
I just want to let you guys know, if you would like to die, the Saiyans are that way.
Yeah.
And please pay me.
So it wasn't like that, but it's just like I'm really in this. And then, oh, man. But even then, I think they use that. It's, you know, sorry, it's leaving me a little bit just because of the hype. And trying to not remember it, but
I was blacking out.
But they at that same time they use Yajirobe as the catalyst to then throw us into a Kami House segment too, right?
I think so. I don't really remember, but I think so.
I feel like the beam was cut up by a good amount.
It was. I mean, it was a long beam, which I'm fine with. Oh, I didn't even bring up that when he says times four, like the and I love when beam clashes aren't just they get bigger, but like. He goes times four,
and then
it's
the second. God, yeah,
that effect is always so sick to me. Like,
so that's a 10.
Both, it's like
a Kaio 10.
A Kaio 10. Thanks for watching Key Moments. We'll see you in the next one.